It's a pleasure to welcome Rabbi Alex Israel, who Kishmo Kein Hu, who garba Yisrael. He grew up in England, also lives in Alon Shvut. And he just published a book on Malachim, which he'll be speaking about in his second session. And yeah, their sheets up front. He is a Rebbe at Yeshivat Eretz HaTzvi and director of the community education at Pardes Institute. And he's been living in Israel already for over 20 years, received his smicha from the chief rabbinate of Israel, has a degree from the London School of Economics.
Use that at all.
And from Bar Ilan University, and he speaks widely in Israel, in America, I assume in England too. I actually first met him in 1993. We were on our way to Israel, and we stopped in London over Shabbos, and we davened at in Hendon at the Mizrahi Minyan, and some young guy was giving a shiur on the time for Hadlakat Neirot. I remember the shiur. And when I met him 15 years later, I said, was that you who gave the shiur in England? So it's a pleasure to welcome him back to Toronto. Without further ado, Rabbi Israel. He's going to talk quickly on the fast food of matzah.
Okay, I hope everybody has source sheets. So, of course, the theme here is going to be one of speed. If you have a chumash in front of you, there's one source that I didn't put in the sheet, in Devarim Perek Tet Zayin, and we talk about the idea, and already it's introduced there. Lo tochal alav chametz shivat yamim tochal alav matzot lechem oni, Perek Tet Zayin in Devarim pasuk bet, pasuk gimel, ki b'chipazon yatzata me'eretz Mitzrayim. Matzot are described as lechem oni. We've all heard of that description, the bread of affliction, or the bread of poverty. Why? Ki b'chipazon yatzata mimitzrayim. Because you came out of Egypt so fast. This is also, and here we'll go to the first source on our sheet, what we say in the Haggadah. This, I assume, we're all familiar. If you ask any, probably even any 6-year-old with a good education, who's been to, had a good ganenet, has a good nursery school teacher, and you say to them, why do we eat matzah? And they'll say, because the bread didn't have time to rise. Okay, that's what we say in the Haggadah. Let's just remind ourselves of the line here. Matzah zu sha'anu ochlim al shuma. Why do we eat matzah? Al shum shelo hispik b'tzeikam shel aboteinu lahachmitz. Because the bread did not have time to rise ad shenigla alehem melech malchei hamalachim hakadosh baruch hu ugalam, until God appeared to them and redeemed them. As it says, they baked them into matzah cakes, literally, because it didn't rise. Kilo chametz, it was not chametz. They were chased out of Egypt, and they couldn't wait for gan seidala or sulahem, and they hadn't prepared food for themselves. Now, we're going to come back to this later on in this shir. We're going to come back to this line. And I hope I'm going to give you an understanding of this line in the Haggadah, which is an understanding you've never, which I think is really the pshat in the line. We'll come to it in about 15 minutes, which I think is a reading that, when I tell people this reading, they say to me, you know, I've never heard this before, but I really do think it's the pshat. But we'll get to that in a minute. But at first level, what we're saying here is that the idea of matzah is its speed. And we all know the idea that matzah has to be baked in less than, right, 18 minutes, okay? And that's the key thing, and it represents this notion of speed. This, of course, runs into a few problems. Maybe let me, actually, before we get to the problems, let's develop the theme a bit more. Even in Mitzrayim, this notion of speed was something which was a central feature of the experience. If you look in source number 2 here, Shemot Perek Yud Bet, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Shemot Perek Yud Bet, Pasuk Yud Aleph, it says, they were going to eat the Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim. Well, they were going to eat the Pesach in Mitzrayim. It really wasn't a Korban that year. We all know on the eve of their leaving, they daubed the lintel and the doorposts of the house with blood, and they ate the Pesach. This was, by the way, a critical test for all of them. We'll come to this in a minute. This was a critical test. The Moreh Nevuchim says that the idea was that they had to very, very clearly identify as Jews. Let's not forget that as far as the Jews were concerned, they didn't know whether this trick was going to work. Think about it this way. Imagine you take the gods of Egypt, and we know from Sefer Shemot that the lamb was the god of Egypt, right? I don't think it's incidental, by the way. I don't know if anybody's birthday around this time. Do you know what the zodiac sign is for this time of year? Aries. Aries is a lamb, right? A lamb. Egypt believed, the Khartoumim believed in astrology, right? In other words, you take the time when the lamb is the most strong and you slaughter it. And you say, we don't believe in your gods, and we do believe in a different god. And you know what? You think, this is what the Rambam says in Moreh Nevuchim, he says, the people would think that if they go against, remember, they're assimilated to a certain degree. They've been in Egypt for 200 years, 400 years, according to some. They have absorbed some of the psychology and some of the way of thinking of Egypt. If they really have absorbed Egyptian culture, they're very nervous about slaughtering the lamb at this time of year, because they're slaughtering the gods of Egypt. And you know, even if they believe in God a little bit, right? Even if they believe in God a lot, they're still a little nervous about it. They're taking a huge gamble. What happens if it doesn't work? What happens if at midnight nothing happens? They've got to go to work the next day. They've got to face that Egyptian taskmaster the next day. And you know what they just did? They daubed the blood of his god all over their doorpost. They slaughtered his god, right? And they roasted it in a way that everybody in the neighborhood knows they're eating it. Right? In other words, this is a test for the Israelites to say, are they really going to repudiate Egyptian culture? And are they going to be willing to really say, we are part of Am Yisrael? Question. I don't know. You know, it's difficult to know. Maybe the Egyptians were scared of them by this stage, right? I don't know why the Egyptians did not react. Maybe there was a royal edict from Pharaoh not to interfere. Remember, we're in a polytheistic society, so admittedly, maybe Ra is the top of the pantheon, but there are lots of other gods, right? You've got too much of a monotheistic perspective. You think there's one god, right? I mean, in their time, they had lots of different gods, right? If you've read anything about Greek mythology, there are lots of gods. So, you know, there are lots of different powers. One of them happens to be, which is like particularly strong this time of year, happens to be the lamb. Okay? So I don't know if it was the head of the pantheon or whatever it was. Ra is also part of the pantheon there. What do they do? Okay, it says, they must eat the meat on this night, broiled. Kachot tochlu oto, source number 2, pasuk yud aleph. And so you've got to eat it. You eat it with your belt on, with your shoes on your feet, with a stick in your hand, and eat it quickly. Now, first of all, again, what does it mean, Pesach Hu Lashem? Is that just telling us that this lamb is going to be renamed Pesach? Second of all, why all this hurriedness? What's the speed all about? So first of all, just to explain, what does it mean, motnechem chagurim? Right, your belt is your waist is belted. Okay, in ancient times, people wore long robes, but if they wanted to move quickly, if they were going to go on a long journey, if they were going to go on a hike, on a tiol, they needed to hitch up their skirts. The women in the audience will be a little more sympathetic to understanding these problems. Okay, and therefore, what you used to do was motnechem chagurim, you used to put on a belt. And then you could tuck in your skirt and pull it up and make it into a short skirt. And then you could walk. Okay? The other thing was, if you needed to carry a lot of load, sometimes weightlifters would put on a belt. Right? So people who went into war would be chagor matnayim. Right? They would put a belt on and it helped firm up the body. They could also sometimes hang things off the belt. Okay? Like people nowadays, you know, their cell phone or whatever it is, they'll put on the belt. Okay? So this really means you're ready to go. You put on your... If you've got your shoes on your feet, people wore their shoes in the streets. They were covered in mud, dust. When they went inside, they took off their shoes. Okay, so you're mamash ready to go. You're eating in a hurry. What are they in such a hurry for? What is this idea of chippazon? If you look here, Ibn Ezra, source number 3, says this is why they're in a hurry. He says, "Umakalchem b'anhegnin hora chamorim kamo v'yachet tatzon b'makel." The time b'chipazon. What's the reason why they have to hurry? Shelo yitakvu v'yamaru la'ochlo lifnei bo rega hamashchit shivsach Hashem ala petach. They had to make sure to eat the korban pesach before midnight, because the destroyer, the mashchit, as it says in Sefer Shemot, is going to come over, and he's going to discern between the Egyptians, those people who serve God, and those who don't, the Egyptians and the Israelites. And therefore, you need to have eaten the Pesach before midnight. So you're in a hurry to get there before midnight. Like sometimes in our Seder, right, because we end up starting late, you know, it's summertime, and the clocks change, and so everybody's saying, hurry up, you've got to eat the Afikoman by midnight, you know, whatever it is. They have to hurry and eat the Pesach. Remember, if they only start roasting it when it gets dark, at nighttime, so it takes a while. So it'll only be roasted a bit later, right, the barbecue takes a little while, and they've got to eat it before midnight, because they've got to have it before the angel comes over or Hashem comes over. That's Ibn Ezra, pragmatic, practical. Okay? Eat it hurriedly. Rashi also relates to the idea of chipazon, and I'll try and put this in a context in a second, but I want you to pay attention to his phrase. Chipazon, lashon source number 4, lashon behala umhirut. Speed, but also behala. Anybody know what behala is? Behala is being in a panic, in a frenzy, right? In fact, he gives an example. Kamo b'Shmuel Aleph Perachav Gimel Vahi David Nechbaz Lalechet. David is being chased. He sees people chasing him. He's got to rush out. Okay, I'm wondering what's so panicked. Okay, but I will simply say this: everything about Seder night is in a hurry, and I want to know why it's in such a hurry. The people have to eat in a hurry. The matzah is hurried food. It's under 18 minutes. It even says it's more than hurried, it's panicked. Right? And I'll say one last thing about the hurry. Pesach hu Lashem. What does it mean? Rashi says, HaKorban karoi Pesach al shem ha-dilug v'ha-psicha. Why is it called Pesach? The word Pesach means Passover, right? To pass over, to jump over. Ha-dilug v'ha-psicha. Jumping and skipping. I'll simply share one observation which I once read in the writings of Aviva Zorenberg, and she said very simply, you can't jump slowly. You can't skip slowly. I mean, you can slow down the movie, but jumping is something that has to be done with speed. Skipping has to be done with speed. What is this notion of the speed of redemption? We'll start finding some answers on our second page. Let's start with Rav Kook. In fact, let's start with number 6, the Tzidkat HaTzadik. Tzidkat HaTzadik, Rav Tzadok HaKohen Milublin, writes the following. It's actually the first passage in his whole book. And he says like this: Reishit knisat ha'adam la'avodat Hashem tzarich liot b'chipazon. Whenever a person wants to enter into Avodat Hashem, divine service, it needs to be quick. Kemo shematzinu b'Pesach Mitzrayim. The model is Pesach in Egypt. Let me add that subsequent Pesachim, subsequent Pesachs, we don't have to hurry. In fact, we do the opposite. Now we're meant to lean, we're meant to take it slow. It's only the year of Egypt, says the Mishnah in Pesachim, that they had to eat in a hurried form. All other years, we're meant to be Beheseba, like B'nai Chorin, like free people, taking our time and eating. He says, when we start our entry to divine service, it must be b'chipazon, it must be rushed. Just as we find in Egypt, shehayah ne'echal b'chipazon, v'lo pesach dorot. M'nei shahatchala, and this is the critical line, the beginning is, l'natek atzmo mikol ta'avot ha'olam hazeh, shehu mekushar bahem. Whenever you start something, there is a certain inertia. There's an inertia. It's very difficult. You know, a person who needs to get out of bed on a cold morning for minyan. You want to sleep. It's warm in bed. So, what do you got to do? You've got to jump out of bed. Chipazon, right? Anything we really want to do. A person wants to, I don't know, give up smoking, go on a diet, start running, I don't know, decide to shift their career, move into a new job. It's very comfortable to stay in the status quo. If you want to move, you know, and it's funny because we think that maybe the Jews in Egypt were chomping at the bit, waiting to get out of there. But in fact, when you look at almost all the sources, they weren't necessarily so quick to go. They didn't necessarily want to go. Says the Sidqat HaTzadik, if you want to make a change in your life, you're always in a certain point have to say, okay, let's do it. Right? Let's do it and just, let's get out of there. And that is the notion of chipazon. If you don't speed up, if you just stay in your armchair, you're never going to move anywhere. And he says, the idea is, to break all the ties of worldly desire, and sarich lishmor harega. You need to seize the moment. You need to seize the moment to get out of there. Shemitorer bo ratzon Hashem. The moment you feel the desire to do a mitzvah, seize the day, seize the moment, olachpoz al oto rega, and use that initial impetus, that energy, lemaher latzeit mehem, ulay yuchal. What does he want to do? Maybe he'll succeed, and then, he says, va'achar kach yelech b'mitzinut, and then he can take it slow, then he can go more moderately, and that's what we do in subsequent Pesachs. The way Sidqat HaTzadik understands this is that there is a need in any situation when you want to make a change, especially such a radical change as leaving Egypt, to really go with the initial enthusiasm. And I have to say that I think this is true about all sorts of situations of redemption. The Sidqat HaTzadik makes it also about our personal Avodat Hashem on a daily basis. Anytime you want to make a change, you have to do it. But he says, this is true certainly about Yetziyah Mitzrayim. By the way, of course, it's true about if you hear stories about, I don't know, people escaping from the Shoah. If we're talking about our more contemporary Yetziyah Mitzrayim, people who were lucky enough to get out of Germany or Eastern Europe, there were so many people who were telling them, hey, stay here, it'll blow over, don't worry, it'll be okay, right? My own family also only left Germany in February 1939, and my grandfather had gone to England because he didn't have work in Germany. He couldn't find work in England because there was a recession in England in 1939, right? And he sent a telegram to his family saying, I'm coming back to Frankfurt. When we look at it in hindsight, February 1939, I'm coming home, right? Luckily enough, the family all had visas and they said, you know, we'll meet you somewhere else. We'll meet you in Switzerland. And for that reason, I'm here today, right? But it's amazing me to think, if you want to get out, you've got to get out b'chipazon. In that case, it was mamash, you know, we've got visas, we're leaving now. You're not waiting till next week. Who knows when the next week the visas would have worked. So in other words, you want to get out of Egypt, maybe the idea of this speed, which seems to be the matzah quick, Hashem's jumping, the people are eating quickly, you've got a window of opportunity, take it. That's what the idea of the matzah being so quick is all about. That's going to be my first read, my first snapshot, my first understanding of chipazon, of the idea of speed. Let's go to to a second understanding of the idea of speed with the help of Rav Kook. And this passage, you'll see it in source number 5. you'll find it in the Haggadah of Rav Kook, which is actually taken from his Siddha, Olat Ra'ayah. And he has another understanding. Rav Kook says the following. By the way, Rav Kook deals with two aspects of the matzah. One is the lechem oni, the idea of the, if you want, the bread of affliction. But here he wants to deal with the idea of the speed. And here's what he has to say. Yisiyat achipazon b'yisoda haitat atzat Hashem. Laharim malatam shel Yisrael shelo al pi derech ha-hitpatzkut ha-sidurit. I'll read the English, maybe it'll be easier for you to follow. At the core, the hasty exodus was the initiative of God. It was meant to raise the level of Israel not in accordance with gradual development, with which every nation experiences as its physical and spiritual levels proceed slowly, but rather that the great forces that were... Okay, I'm going to even stop there. What does he want to say? There are many nations who have experienced national self-realization. Many movements of national emancipation. If we look in the 20th century, it's definitely true about many, many, you know, if you want to look at the whole history of the Middle East, the history of Africa, European nations, India, you know, if you know about the history of Gandhi or whatever, so it took. He says, but all of those things usually take, you know, many decades. if not half a century, even a century, of slow development, of the development of national identity, of struggle, then of political, you know, whatever it might be, until these things are recognized, right? If you think about the history of, I don't know, South Africa, whatever it might be, lots of countries gain their independence, lots of nations get self-realization. The unique thing, says Rav Kook, with Am Yisrael was it all happened so quickly. It happened exceedingly quickly. And he says, why does it need to be that way? He says it was Hashem's design that it should all happen overnight. Why? Well, maybe I'll explain it to you afterward, outside, and we'll read it inside. Rav Kook is now going to come along with his unique view of Am Yisrael, and he says that Am Yisrael have a special innate kedusha. Am Yisrael have innate sanctity and holiness, innate traits which need to be developed. But the worrying thing would be if we developed slowly and slowly turned, slowly started developing as an independent people and then developed a sense of law and then developed a national infrastructure and then what have you, what would be our influences? I think about, let's say, modern Israel. So if you want a modern Israel, the system of, for example, government is based on the British parliamentary system. You know, you have a parliamentary democracy, the same system of government as Britain, and even the Nasi Amdina, the president, is modelled on the, you know, legal position of the Queen in England, because Israel grew out of the British mandate. Right? Likewise, if you know anything about Israeli law is based on previous stratas of Ottoman law and then British law. In other words, in building our own country, we picked up previous crustaceans, previous layers of other cultures. Rav Kook says, if we want to create a new invention of Am Yisrael, what do we need to do? We need to sprout from the actual, from the kedusha of the Jewish people. We want to create an invention of a Jewish people which is infused with godliness and infused with Jewish values. Not that it is somehow a mishmash of Canaanite and Egyptian cultures. And then a little bit of Judaism, you know, like a cherry on the top. It has to be the whole thing sprouting from the DNA of Judaism. The only way to do that, maybe, is to create us in a midbar, in a wilderness. That's why we need to be isolated for a generation. But in order to obviate the Egyptian influence, he has to get us out of there as quick as possible. We go from slaves. You remember the first chapter of Shemot, where the Jews are enslaved, and one of the key things that everybody talks about in that chapter is Am Yisrael don't talk. There are no names, right? You remember, Vayelech Ishmi Beit Levi, Vayikachet Bat Levi. There are no names of the people. There are no names. There is no speech. There's no identity. Suddenly, within a very short time, we're a people. Why is that? So now let's read Rav Kook. Okay? Yitziyad ha-chipazon b'yitzoda haita atar Hashem laharim ma'alatam shel Yisrael shelo al-pi ha-itpatchut ha-tzidurit, to raise the level of Israel not according to natural development, shekul umamit patachat b'stareh ha-tiviyim v'tavol ma'alata, that every nation develops according to its natural order and will come to its state of independence. Li'ita, slowly. Ki im sha'kochot ha-gdolim anir b'damim b'nefesh ha-umah, all of the huge forces which were dormant, latent in the soul of the people, Kozman Hayotam b'Mitzrayim, while they were in Egypt, Kubushim ba'oni, suppressed by affliction, Yetzu b'peta pitom min hakoach el hapoal, will suddenly burst forth from potential to actual, Ad she'nehafchu mi'abadim shvelim la'am tarbuti b'tarbut elokit, till they come from a lowly people into a cultured people with a godly culture. La'am kadosh, to be a holy nation. V'hilei hinei lulei hayu Am Yisrael am kazesh yuchalit pateach rak al pi anitiya elokit, lo haya tzarich lo tachi pazon. If it wasn't that the Jewish people had this propensity, the Jewish people had this ability to develop with a unique religious flavor, innate religion, we wouldn't need the chipazon, he says. V'hayu mitpatchim ma'at ma'at, they would develop slowly, bit by bit. Al mitoch sheshum tarbut acheret hi mitakevet et kedushat ha-Torah. The speed was entirely necessary in order to achieve this isolation. Now, even as I'm saying this, so by the way, I would maybe try and summarize our shiur so far in the following way. Point number one, speed is an essential feature of Yitziat Mitzrayim. Why? Answer number one, says the Sidcha HaTzadik, we have to seize the window of opportunity. Matzah represents the window of opportunity. You've got 18 minutes to get out. Get out now. Who knows whether after 18 minutes you'll be allowed out. I mean, I'd say 18 minutes metaphorically. Okay? Rav Kook, number two, okay, that Chibazon represents the isolation of the Jewish people. The idea that the Jewish people should be unaffected and uninfluenced and untainted by any other culture. And that's the idea of the Chipazon. It's the speed of being able to emerge in an independent manner, unaffected by any other culture. I have to say, even when I read Rav Kook, I sometimes wonder whether this is a little bit, how should I say, idealized. Because we know that Am Yisrael in the Midbar, in the wilderness, were not exactly an ideal nation. They kept on sinning, right? I'm not making that up. God says it, right? You tested me 10 times. You're rebels ever since I knew you. Rav Kook assumes that this inner seed, this inner DNA of Kedusha is why we needed Chipazon. But does it really match the facts? So I would actually like to maybe take a step back and give a slightly different reading. First, I'd like to reread the verses again. That we've seen, and here you have the psukim in source number 7. spared you flicking through the Chumash. And I'd like to ask ourselves whether really the central issue is speed, or maybe something, let's be a little more accurate. Maybe I'll even start with an earlier question. We know that we're not allowed to bake matzah, we're not allowed to, once we knead the dough, we're not allowed to leave it, as you all said, more than 18 minutes. When they baked matzah on that year, was it around more than 18 minutes? They took it, packed up in their bags, and they left Egypt, right? And then they went for a long hike in the desert, and then they baked it. So it was way more than 18 minutes. So it should have become chametz. So what are we talking about when we say they came out in such a hurry? They didn't have, the bread didn't have time to rise. It had lots of time to rise. So I'm not an expert bread breaker. Ugh, try that again. Bread baker. And I don't really know what happens. I know that when my wife makes challah, you can punch down the dough. But that's got nothing to do with the time. That's to do with wrapping it up very tightly so it can't rise. It's not to do with there was no time. Right? The time factor is not a fact. It's because they wrapped it up. So what's going on here? Who said the bread didn't have time to rise? I think it had a lot of time to rise. Okay, I just want to point that out. Point number two. We all know they ate matzah before they left. Right? If you're not quite sure what I'm talking about, you can check it again in source number two, where it says, V'kacha tochlu v'tochlu et habasar b'layla hazeh sli'eish u'matzot al morurim yochluhu. When they ate the Pesach the night before they left, they ate it with matzah. They already had matzah. Suddenly, the bread didn't have time to rise. What are we talking about? So I want to try and give a new explanation. It's not new. I think it's the pshat. Of what do we mean when we said the bread didn't have time to rise? And then put it in a wider philosophical category. But let's read the story. Source number 7, Perek Yudbet, Pasuk Chafbet. Ulukachtem agudate zov. This is Moshe talking to the people. Take a hyssop and dip it in the blood, which is in the bowl, and daub it on the lintel and on the two doorposts. Va'atem al teitzu ish mi petach beito ad boker. You are not allowed to leave the house till when? Till the morning. In other words, stay shut in your houses. And again, what would morning be? I assume when it gets light. Don't know whether we want to go with alot hashachar, kadesh yakir, right? You know, Nate, it's not really important to me. Sometime till the morning. Okay? 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning, 7 in the morning. Okay, they're staying in. Va'avar Hashem lingof em Mitzrayim v'ra'et adam ala mashkof al shtei amezuzot u'pasach Hashem ala petach v'lo yitin amashchit lavo al bateichen lingof. In other words, don't go out the door because outside is really dangerous. There is forces of destruction outside. Stay indoors. There's a menace in the streets. So no one is allowed to leave till the morning. So in other words, you ever had to get the whole family somewhere for a flight or something like that, right? So everybody knows they've got to leave that, you know, 7 o'clock. Is anybody ready at 7, right? Usually, you know, 6:45, everybody's rushing around the house. 7 o'clock, you're meant to leave, right? You end up leaving, 7:20, right? I don't know, maybe some of you are more, you know, yakish than my family. But that's the way it usually works. If we want to tell the kids when to leave, we always tell them 30 minutes before we really think we need to leave, because we always leave 30 minutes late. Okay, now let's see what happens, right? I imagine that everybody is getting things ready till the last minute, you know? Where's my shoes? Where this? I forgot that. Okay. It was midnight. Hashem smote all of the firstborns. All the firstborns. Even the animals. Paro apparently was already asleep. It's almost difficult to even imagine. There was a scream around the whole of Egypt. Ki ein bayit asher ein sham meit. There was no house where there was not somebody dead. So of course, with this scream, what happens? Get out! Get out of here! Gam atem, gam bnei Israel, you, Moshe, Aaron, all of Israel, get out! And now, pasuk lamed gimel, v'techezach mitzrayim al ha'am lemaher l'shalcham min ha'aretz ki amru kulanu meitim. It says, look at the phrase, v'techezach, which means, in English it says they urge, but the word used is chazak, right? In other words, they put pressure. Okay, let's try and imagine. It seems like the Jews and the Egyptians lived in mixed neighborhoods, right? Because God is jumping over the houses. So every Egyptian, once Pharaoh gives the order, out, everybody out. So what's happening? Everybody's knocking on the doors of their neighbors, say, come out your houses, get out of here. We're pushing you out of here. There's a expulsion order. Everybody out. I don't know whether the Jews were willing to open their doors, right? They were told, don't go out your house till the morning. But apparently, lemaher l'shalcham min ha'aretz. Okay? They're saying, they say, get out of here. And, v'yisa ha'amit b'tzeiko. And here's the critical pasuk I want you to pay attention with, lamed daled. The people took their dough, terem yechmatz, before it had risen, misharotam surot b'simlotam al shichmam. The time is, midnight is when the Egyptians were killed. So what's the time now? When are the Egyptians knocking on the door? 1 a.m, 2 a.m, 3 a.m. So the mother of the family has just kneaded her dough. She's waiting for the bread to rise. There's no din of chametz that year, just to understand. They have to eat matzah with the korban Pesach. But we get told there's no issue of chametz that year. They've got to go on a journey, right? So she needs to make some bread so they'll have food. But she wants the bread to be fresh. Okay? So what did she do? She kneads the dough and waits for it to rise. She's going to put it in the oven when? 3 a.m, 4 a.m. Because she knows they have to leave at 7 a.m. Okay? But suddenly, 2 a.m, they get a knock on the door. Get out. No, we're still going to bake our bread. We haven't got any food. Get out. And they push him out of the house. What do? They take the dough because they haven't baked it yet. They didn't bake the dough. It's not they made the dough just then. They were expecting the dough. It says, right? Look at the passage again. The people took their doughs before it was leavened, right? Misharotam shorot besimlotam al shichmam, right? In other words, they took the dough on their shoulder because they hadn't had a chance to bake it. And now it says, Pasuk Lamed Zayin, Vayisu b'nei Yisrael meram seis sukota, k'shesh miot elef ragli ha'gvarim levamitav. They go on a journey from Ramses to Sukkot. We don't know the distances, but let's just say, even if it was 1 mile, 3 miles, if you're traveling with 600,000 people, you ever been on a march, right? Ever been on a big march? You can't even, it took all day, right? They were marching all day. They were walking all day to wherever they went. And now, they baked them into flat matzah loaves, right? I have to say one thing. There are three types of matzah in Torah. Three types of bread in the Torah they talk about. There's rukike matzot, matzah wafers. That's what we have nowadays. That's what we call matzah. There's ugot matzot. That's matzah loaves, which are more like pita or lafa or whatever it might be. And then there's lechem chametz. So they bake them into probably pitot, ki lo chametz, because it had not risen, ki garshu mimitzrayim v'lo yakul mameah, because they couldn't wait in Egypt, v'gam seidah lo asu lahem. Now I'm asking you a question. How did they bake their bread? In the sun, or did they have ovens? Right? You can only bake fluffy, big loaves of bread in an oven, right? If you're on the if you're en route, in other words, why did they bake them? We got matzot. Because that's the only way you can do it. Have you ever seen the way that Bedouins bake their pita? They light a few twigs. They take what's called a saj, which is a sort of curved metal plate. They take the dough, they flatten it out, and they put it on there. And it's yummy, it's pita. But the reason why we end up with matzah is not because we came out in such a hurry that we couldn't let our bed be baked as bread. And then that night we bake it as pita because we don't have an oven. You understand what I'm saying? No, it's not that we don't have an oven. By the way, I think if I have to summarize what I'm trying to say, is that it's not that we came out quickly, it's that we came out prematurely. Prematurely. Now I want to go back to what we say in the Haggadah. Look carefully at what we read in the Haggadah, source number one. Matzah zu shanu ochlim al shum ma. Why do we eat matzah? Al shum shelo hispik b'tzeikam shel avoteinu lahachmitz. The bread of our fathers, the batzeik, the dough of our fathers, did not have time to rise. We thought we would be redeemed at 7 a.m. God redeemed us at 3 a.m. Oh my goodness. It even came before we anticipated it. We thought we were going to be redeemed in the morning, but we were redeemed even earlier than that. Now I'm going to have to ask myself, why is this important? And it says, do you understand what I'm saying? It's not that we came out quickly, it's that we came out prematurely, too early. Not too early, I mean, Hashem wanted us to come out early. I'm saying that matzah is the symbol of prematureness, not the symbol of speed only. And it says, Shene Emar, Ve'ofreda batzeik asher otzi mitzrayim ugot matzot ki locham et ki gershu mitzrayim, because they were chased out of Egypt. V'lo yachul imameah. The issue is that they were chased out prematurely, and they didn't have time to wait to bake bread. V'gam tzedat lo asu lahem. And they hadn't yet made provisions. What's that line? They didn't make provisions. If they made provisions, they'd have bread. They'd have real bread. I mean, they'd have lachmaniot. They'd have rolls. They'd have, whatever it is. Sourdough bread. Okay. So now I want to try and deal with the issue of prematureness. Okay? I'm changing the definition now of chipazon. And I'm going to claim that chipazon represents the idea of prematureness, of that we came out almost before we were ready. Before we were ready. By the way, this is an idea which we're familiar with and we've all been taught. The idea actually comes from the Zohar. The idea that Israel were on the 49th level of Tumah. Maybe you've heard this idea. Israel were on the 49th level of impurity. They almost succumbed. This is based on Pesukim in Yecheskel and others. Israel almost succumbed to being assimilated entirely in Egyptian culture, becoming idolatrous. And God had to pluck them out before they were even ready. We were not ready for Yetziat Mitzrayim. And I would like to share with you two or three comments from some of the Hasidic masters, the Sfat Emet and Shemi Shmuel, which talk about this, and then I want to elaborate and explain, I think, maybe an interesting angle. Let's take a look at the Sfat Emet that you see here in source number 8. Background to the Sfat Emet comment. Sfat Emet is commenting on Shemot Perek Yudalad, which is the story of the Yamsuf, of Kriyat Yamsuf, where they cross the... And there they are told... You remember when they were running to the Red Sea, what did they do? They doubled back. Well, they're going away from Egypt, and suddenly they do an about turn, such that Pharaoh says, they're lost. You all know what I'm talking about. Yeah? Someone nod? Okay. Sfat Emet wants to read this and say, well, why are you turning around? Turning around means sort of like going back and then you've got a journey again. Right? What does it mean if you're going in a certain way and then you go back and you do it again? What does that mean? And he's going to claim, well, we'll see what he claims. Dabar b'nei Yisrael v'yashubu, source number 8, on page 3 here. La'asher yatsu b'nei Yisrael b'chipazon mimitzrayim. Because Israel came out of Egypt prematurely, I'll say, quickly. V'haya shelo b'hadraga. It was non-gradual. The ein zeh davar shel kayama. It is not something which can be. It can't. It will not stand. It's not something which can be permanent. Hutzruchula shuv. They had to go back and do it again. Next comment. Dalber b'nei shol v'yashuvu. The same pasuk. Yesh domar tam ha'inyan. You might want to say the reason is she yitzi Yisrael hayanes shelo b'hadraga. The Exodus was a miracle which happened without any gradation, without any gradual stages. V'hila sha'a, whenever you do something so quickly, it can disintegrate very quickly. It is only temporary. V'ratza Hashem yitbarach shisha'er gulazu ba'atzmut Yisrael. God wanted this redemption to be more permanent. V'chein ratza Hashem yitbarach tamid b'kolish Yisrael le'i b'tzo sha'a. Then they had to come up by themselves. And that's why they cried at the Red Sea. Okay. Oh, one more line. Since they saw God's amazing wonders, Lama Yiru, why they were they scared of the Egyptians? Ach ki yadu she'ata tzrichim ligvor me'atzmam. They realized they would need to prevail by themselves. These passages are a little cryptic, but I'm going to try and explain. God redeemed us prematurely, but what this means is, and if you think about it, the way Yitzhak Mitzrayim happened is that God did all the work. Whenever you see somebody who makes a radical change, a very, very radical change, and has not necessarily worked for it, there is always some sort of trauma which takes place. You've got to play catch-up. I can give a few examples. Maybe I'll give a couple of examples which will illustrate what I'm trying to say. Sometimes you'll have somebody who, I don't know, doesn't have a really deep connection with their Jewish identity, finds themselves by the Kotel in Yerushalayim on a Friday night, right? And suddenly sees the light and books into, I don't know, one of the Baal Teshuvah yeshivas in Yerushalayim. And within a very short while is, I don't know, you know, living a very, very observant lifestyle. And within 2-3 months, he suddenly looks like a frum Jew and acts like a frum Jew and is living in an Orthodox way. Sometimes what will happen, and maybe some of you know people like this, a couple of years later, 6 months later, a year later, 2 years later, sometimes even with quite tragic results, the person turns around and says, wait, is this me? Maybe I just went through some sort of like crazy brainwashing. And suddenly they have to maybe go back and almost reconstruct it because they did such a shift. They ask themselves, wait, where am I in all of this? I sort of took on an identity, which isn't quite me, but I didn't go all the steps from there to there. I didn't do it slowly. And sometimes you'll find the most successful people who have become Balei Tshuva, become observant, have a people who have done it sort of slowly, slowly over the years. They took on a little bit, they absorbed it, they still kept their friends, they still kept their community, and they've done it gradually. Maybe I'll give you another example from contemporary Israel. You all probably heard about the Aliyah of the 1950s, the Moroccan and the Iraqi Aliyah. I remember, everybody knows that those sort of Aliyot which took place, Operation Magic Carpet and Operation... There was a huge amount of social fallout from those Aliyot. You took people who were coming from other cultures and they came to Israel, and they didn't necessarily know how to read and write or work in a Western economy, and they were put into development towns. And what happened was the younger generation was alienated and they were poor and they were... And there was a huge drop in terms of their religious identity. You know, when Israel did the Aliyah of the Ethiopians, the Sochnut, the Jewish agency, said, we're not going to make the same mistakes. They tried to learn all the mistakes they'd made with the Aliyah of the 50s, and then they made all the same mistakes. They made all the same mistakes. And I spoke to a friend of mine who actually was a director of Americas Klita, of an absorption center, and I said to him, why can't you get it right? You know, poor Ethiopians, look at that. And he says, you can't get it right. So you take people from a tribal place in Africa and you bring them to Israel. He says, within 6 months, the children can read Hebrew fluently. The parents are going around the supermarket with the children and getting the children to translate everything. Children very quickly get an idea that He's the head of the family and not the father. Anyway, the father's sitting at home and he's got nothing to do. If at best he's a janitor, he's a cleaner. The son looks at himself and wants to drive a sports car because he's Israeli, right? And he wants to be cool and wear, you know, whatever it is, Nike sneakers and this. The father does it still wearing his sandals. And suddenly, it'll take one generation, two generations, three generations in order to, and that's, if you know anything about Israeli politics, for example, the Shas party, Rabbi Ovadia Yosef was saying, you lost all your heritage, we'll rebuild the heritage. But it takes a while. This is exactly what the Sfat Emet is saying. Sfat Emet says, you take people out of Egypt. They didn't do anything. You know, the original plan was that Moshe would go to Pharaoh and he'd ask him for freedom. But of course, what happened? Pharaoh said, I'm not interested. And he just made things harder. And the people cried and Moshe cried. God says, you know what, I've got a better method. I'll do miracles. In the miracles, did Am Yisrael do anything? Totally passive. God does all the heavy lifting. He does all the work. Right? He does all the miracles. And Am Yisrael have not gone through a process. When they come out, prematurely. They haven't gone through a process. If you wonder why, when we go through the Midbar, when we go through the wilderness, they're always complaining because they've still got to grow. Vayashuvu. They've got to go back, right? And as the Sfat Emet says, Ligbor Me'atzmam. They've got to build their freedom. They've got to build a new identity. Matzah represents this idea, not that the, yes, that it happened fast, but even more than it happened fast, it happened prematurely. I'd even say, now by the way, here we're in a catch 22. Because if God hadn't redeemed them, remember our first explanation, window of opportunity, we never would have got out of there. Yeah? If God hadn't redeemed them then, the window would close. We couldn't get out of there. But because you take them out so quickly, there's still attrition, right? And therefore, I mean, we all know the end of the story. The end of the story is that generation didn't go into Eretz Yisrael. In other words, this chipazon, this idea that it happened so fast, is a wonderful thing. But it also has sort of a, you know, it has a dark side to it. You understand what I'm saying? It has a dark side to it because, and then it makes it very nuanced. And this is the side of chipazon. This is why I find the idea of matzah being this flatbread so evocative, because it expresses exactly this idea, how we came out almost despite ourselves. We came out when we weren't quite ready. That's what I'm trying to say. Matzah was the matzah which was baked because we didn't, not only the bread didn't have time to rise, we didn't have time to rise as a nation. And therefore, we need to see matzah as representing all of this imagery. And this imagery later on, as I say, later on in the Midbar, that led to all the complaining and all of the failures and all of the upheavals and all of the revolutions that took place until it took a generation. Only the children of these people are really going to go into Eretz Israel. And on this point, I would like to maybe take this one last final stage and finish with one understanding of matzah, which I think encapsulates this. And with this, this will be our last source number 10, from one of my teachers, Rav Yoel Bin Nun. Let's just read a little bit. I found the article online in English, so I can save myself translating and you reading in both two languages at once. And he says like this. Maybe even before I get there, I'm going to just again, as with every source I've given an introduction. When we look at matzah, we can look at it as everything we've said, speed, or the bread which didn't rise, but I want you to focus exactly on that idea of the bread that didn't rise. Every, self-aspiring dough, every self-aspiring dough would like to become big fluffy bread, right? If you want, you could look at matzah as failed bread. You understand what I say? It's like bread which didn't quite rise. I'm going to actually look at it as something different. Imagine if you took one of these, like, freeze frame. You set a camera, right? And you photograph the bread after, 10 minutes after you've kneaded it, 20 minutes, this, that, and the other. You'd be able to watch the bread rise, right? But the idea is that at some level, there is a language of bread, flat bread and thick bread. There are times when we actually bring all three types of breads. One example is in the Korban Todah, where we want to say thank you to God. When we want to say thank you to God, we bring three different loaves of bread. We bring 10 loaves which are rukike matzah wafers, 10 loaves which are matzah loaves, and 10 loaves which are chametz. It's one of the only times we bring chametz to the Beit HaMikdash. What's the idea of doing that? It's saying that we actually describe a process. It says that I started, maybe like we say in Mizmor Shir Chanukah Habayit to David, I started flat, then things grew, and now my lot is so rich. Ah, thank you Hashem. Right? Mizmor LeTodah. Thank you, you've helped me so much. This is just great. A second example. Pesach. The symbol of Pesach is obviously Matzah. Chag HaMatzot. However, 7 weeks later, at the time of Matan Torah, the main symbol of Shavuot, on the one hand, it's Chag HaBikurim, the first fruits of the farm, but it's also the korban we bring, the sacrifice we bring is called the Shtei HaLechem. The two loaves. One of the only times we bring chametz. Usually we don't bring chametz to the Beit HaMikdash. The only time we bring chametz to the Beit HaMikdash. And now I'll read with you Rav Yoel Ben Nun. Leaven, chametz, represents the final goal to which the farmer aspires from the start of his work. Bread, which is chametz, expresses the end of the successful process, the longed for end result, the realization of that which he had visualized at the start and which he pursued until he achieved it. Matzah, in contrast, represents a situation in mid-process, before the end result is achieved. It represents a deficiency that is waiting for completion. Okay? We may expand, I'll read one more paragraph. We expand this idea somewhat and propose that matzah, both practically and as a symbol, is poor man's bread. It's the bread of someone who lacks the ability and resources to bring the material process to its completion in the form of full leavened loaf. Now, what's this going to express in the idea of Yitziat Mitzrayim? Very simply this. We all know the poem which we say in the Haggadah, Dayenu, right? Of course, we say, that's a ridiculous song. You know, if we had come out of Egypt and never come to Har Sinai, it would be Dayenu. What? Would it be Dayenu? It wouldn't be Dayenu. We'd be stuck in the Midbar. If we'd have been at Har Sinai and God hadn't given us the Torah, that'd be Dayenu. No, it wouldn't. Why do we want to be at Har Sinai and not get the Torah? If we'd got the Torah and not gone to Eretz Yisrael, it would be Dayenu. No, it wouldn't. We want to come to Eretz Yisrael and establish a nation state. So what are we talking about? We're saying that really, we thank God for every stage, every incremental bit of the journey. When we eat matzah on Pesach, we're making a dual statement. We're saying, Ilu hiyotzianu mitzrayim dayenu. We're thanking you for bringing us out. But we're recognizing that this is only the beginning of the process. Things are still raw. Things are still unfinished. The biggest danger that we could have as a nation is that we would think that just independence is enough. When my teacher Rav Yoel Ben Nun, if you know a little about him, you know, very important religious Zionist thinker, when he spoke about this, he actually said a very interesting thing. He said, if somebody experiences Yom HaAtzma'ut and doesn't say thank you to God, it's like he didn't eat matzah on Pesach. Okay? He didn't mean it. What he meant was, you've got to say thank you when God does something big for you. But he says, if you think that the state of Israel is the totality of what we're yearning for, it's as if you ate chametz on Pesach. What does he mean? We're still in our national formation as a nation. We're still on the road. The day after Pesach, what do we start doing? We start counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We start counting the Omer. 7 times 7. 7 times 7 sort of gives this sense of a journey. Where do we want to get to? We want to get to Har Sinai. We want to get to the Shtei Alechem. We want the bread to rise. Right? We want to go the process. We want the process to expand. We want to play, if I take the Sfar Emet, catch up. We want to develop ourselves a nation because God took us out so quickly. Now we need to build ourselves into a nation. So matzah is expressing this amazing duality. On the one hand, it's saying, thank you God for bringing us out. Thank you God for giving us the seeds of being a nation. But yet, there is much more work to do. There is more work to do. This is just the beginning. Yes, it's a critical first step. You see, Yitziat Mitzrayim is a critical first step. And of course we thank God for it. But now we've got to build higher and higher until we reach the heights of meeting God, the communication with God, and the communion with God at Har Sinai. I wish all of you a Chag Kasher V'Sameach. Thank you.